Guys, I don't know what class I should play in Diablo 3. Is everyone...
Oh my gosh.
Dibs on wizard. Dibs on wizard. You can't play wizard.
Oh, crap.
I was thinking about maybe monk.
Yeah, I don't know. Monk was fun. I don't know if I want that now.
Do witch doctor.
I'll take witch doctor if you want to take monk.
Maybe demon hunter.
I want to be a romancer.
We can't use that.
Why can't we use that?
Because it's not going to make sense when you beep it out.
What if I reiterate that he said, "Fuck romancer."
Is there a word that would be there that wouldn't be funny?
Yeah. No, it's all funny.
Okay. Hello, my name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hello, my name is Griffin McElroy. I didn't bring a game this week. Just kidding, I did, and it's great.
Hey, my name is Chris Plant, and I brought a game.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I know the best game of the week.
Russ Frustick is coming to us from a roller coaster.
Here on the Besties, we each of us pitch new games or games that have been recently released. We make them compete in a sort of battle royale, and we give our best pitches, and then at the end of our program, the winning game is decided by our live-in android, the Chris Granitron. It's a robotic version of our editor-in-chief with no emotions.
It's the platonic ideal right. Of Chris Grant.
And it is made of plutonium, so... His core is highly radioactive, so we do have to be careful of that. But we will make our pitches. We've decided that our typical method
is not very entertaining to listen to.
It's not entertaining to listen to. So we're going to skip all that. No more fighting. Just four friends, you know, four best friends giving their pitches to a robot. Programmed with the mind and personality and spirit, in as much as that is possible, of their editor-in-chief. Russ Frustick, how do you think having an android make our decision is going to alter the podcast?
Oh, I'm not so much worried about the podcast as the future of our civilization. Mm-hmm, this might be the end. I think it'll probably be the end.
And the future of our career, right? Like, if an android can become the new tastemaker, you know, an android is going to be completely free of bias, which all of us obviously house. I hate the PS3. Yeah. Android's not going to come with that bias installed in it unless it is a Microsoft Android, I guess.
Lol, Xbox.
I heard that Arthur Geese is a Microsoft Android. I just heard that, like, I read it on a forum somewhere.
I think the person who really has to be concerned is Fleshman Chris Grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, robotic Chris Grant, the android that lives at the Besties Mansion. He is free, except for some light maintenance. I mean, once we got past the $3 million it took to build him, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though. I've seen them both kind of next to each other, and I can't totally tell the difference.
No.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Fleshman Chris Grant sounds like a sex toy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a long time suspicion. That's actually where we got the idea for Android Chris Grant.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's our current game of the year? Because I, honest to God, can't remember. Is it still Walking Dead?
I think it's Walking Dead. Yeah. Okay. Which we picked because of its dynamic story choices and its tense narrative. Who, out of curiosity, who on the call now has played Walking Dead? Who's gone through it?
I still haven't.
Not me.
No.
This f***ing podcast requires you to play new games every single week.
I've played through it twice. I played through it again with my wife on the 360, which is actually a really neat experience. I just had her. I did all like the you know, the action sequences, and I let her make all the narrative decisions, which was kind of an interesting way to go through it because she made completely different choices than I did.
Did you hint her about the energy bars?
No, she only gave an energy. She's much smarter than me. She only gave an energy bar to the one person she liked, and then she moved on with her life, with many energy bars in tow. Griffin, who's going first this week?
What's everyone's favorite Pokemon?
Oh, God.
Mr. Mime.
Ghastly.
Frustick?
This is such a hard decision. You're
just
like,
make it.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
Just go.
It's very much not like that.
Charmander.
Charmander. Okay, that's obviously the worst. I'm going to say Mr. Mime, definitely, definitely first place. And then we'll go Justin, and then I will abstain and go fourth.
Mr.
I don't
Mime.
Like that. I don't like that Pokemon shit. I'm not a little kid.
Wow.
Mr. Mime, hit it.
So this week I am bringing Awesome Knots, which is Baby's first MOBA game. If you haven't heard of MOBA, that is multiplayer online battle arena genre. It's also known as Dota or an ARTS, short for Action RTS. It's a lot of acronyms. But the basic point of it is kind of think Team Fortress 2, where you have two sides. You have a red and a blue team. On opposite sides, you're trying to protect some giant thing. In the case of this game, it's like a drill core. And to get to the other side, you have to team up with your two teammates. There's three on each team, and destroy these turrets that are protecting whatever that magical, wonderful drill core thing is on the opposing side. But before you can get there, and before you can even kill these turrets, you have to work in tandem with AI-controlled teammates that are like bots. That basically, if they make it all the way to the turret, suck up all of the turret's ammo and give you a few like choice seconds to lay down an attack. So the game kind of becomes this rock-paper-scissors game where you're defending the core, you're defending the bots, and then you're also trying to attack turrets. And there's all these different types of characters. There's the rogue. There is the tank, there is the healer, and they have goofy powers that you upgrade as you level up by playing more and more games. And it all comes wrapped in this adorable Saturday morning cartoon kind of aesthetic where there's this weird, strange French theme song that keeps playing throughout it. All the characters have their own goofy theme songs. There's lots of screaming from an announcer, lots of bright colors. That's pretty much it.
Is there any progression between matches? Like, if you do well on your rogue, will it
there
level
is.
Up?
It, after you finish a match, you get your XP, and you use that to... Well, I mean, you don't even have a choice, really. You use that, and as you hit levels, it unlocks additional characters, and it also unlocks certain... You can choose abilities before a match for the character. So basically, before a match... The character has, like, a number of special skills that they can choose from. They have a number of, like, movement and health skills that they can choose from. And you select three from each of these categories. And the available options increases as you level up. But there's no, like, purchasing system for any of this.
Now, is it an isometric perspective, like other MOBAs?
It's 2D. It's like, just a very cartoony 2D platformer look. Which is great, because the reason that I never played a Dota game... is because those are usually isometric, like Warcraft-looking games. That was the original Dota is Defense of the Ancients, which was a mod for Warcraft 3, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I looked at this, and I was sort of turned off by the aesthetic. I did not in the little trailer that I watched, and I also saw a man. Purchase like four items in a store type thing, and every time he bought one, he said, "Let's spend some dinero," and he said like four times. Oof. Right in a row. Is that a thing that goes
yeah,
on a lot?
Yeah. So when you start in a match between the other team, you don't have any powers. You have a little bit of in-game currency to spend, and you want to purchase like an initial power. Like one is to gain more currency quickly, or just a super move. And the strategy is in choosing these. You know, do you want to get the super move right away so you can rush the other side and just start bashing at them? Or do you want to think long term and, you know, get a health bonus or get the money bonus that will kind of get you through a longer match?
I think Justin was more commenting on the almost Gex-like repetition of dialogue.
Oh, you're talking about how Gex-ian. Annoying it is. I mean, it's no more annoying than any of these type of games where it's like they have the same calls over and over and over.
I mean, the same, like, a lot, man.
There have been some really, really great indie games lately that have almost fallen prey to this Nintendo 64 style approach to spoken word.
Yeah, like, we're, that's the new retro. We've gone past Super Nintendo, and now we're entering kind of the polished territory of PS1. Not,
yeah, it ain't. It's not charming, though, to, like, full-blown Bubsy 3D it, because, like, Orcs Must Die did it, too, and, like, that was, I loved that game, but every time you kill the guy, it's like, yeah, Bullseye! Yeah, yeah Bullseye! Night Combat, too, like, So, I mean, developers, if you're listening, please just don't do that anymore.
We'll record a voiceover for you. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's like that's like the wicked easiest, like, just have somebody, like, say, like, two or three more things, you know, and then don't make your characters talk quite as much.
You got exploderized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I would want? I would want a game that I could play infinitely and never hear a single repeat. Every patch and update just delivered another, like, 100,000 lines of dialogue.
They have that game already, Griffin. It's called Life.
No, because, like, I don't know. I can hear somebody, like, tell the same joke over and over again, you know?
What about World of Warcraft?
Hear somebody say, yeah, baby.
Yeah, like, baby.
Over and over again. Yeah. I get it. Or don't touch me there. I'll call the police. Like, yeah, I know. Oh, how many times do I have to hear that one?
Okay.
My name is Borat.
I suspect that if I start hearing Russ Freshnik do Borat impressions, I'm never going to let him stop. So yeah. I'm going to step in here and pitch you guys on Tribes Ascend. Now, this is a free-to-play first-person shooter that is obviously based on the old series. You a bunch of armored dudes. And maybe ladies, I don't know, you don't see inside the armor, battle it out, capturing flags or deathmatching or what have you. Everybody's armed with a jetpack and the ability to ski downhill not with actual skis, with sort of a friction-reducing ability, which makes locomotion a lot of fun. It's a free-to-play game, and you could absolutely play and never spend a dime on it. If you want to spend money, you can use it to unlock certain extra items or to get experience boosts that increase the amount you earn with every win. But there's so much. What I really am enjoying about it, I'm not great at first person shooters as a rule, and I don't necessarily like to spend a lot of time getting better. That doesn't really interest me to practice a lot before I start having fun. And in Tribes, there's so many different roles you could be playing. Obviously, there's different classes. There's a Juggernaut that is best for standing around the base and defending it. There's a Pathfinder who's much faster and is great for chasing people with the flag or capping the flag. And then there's just some general soldier types. But and so if you want to fill those roles, you can. And then there's additional, like, support stuff. Like, you can – each base has a generator that powers turrets that protect you. And that generator and turrets can get destroyed. And at any time, you can go into a base and get a repair gun and go out to fix generators and fix turrets. And you get, you know, you get points for that. So even if you, you know, aren't the greatest at just chasing guys – you can work a strategic position and still feel like you're having an impact, which I think is cool. Any time that they can support that many different people, and just the playing of the game is so kinetic and fun to, like, whip around the map. And there's one map where there's a aqueduct system that runs through the entire thing, and the sides are curved. Of the aqueduct, so you can actually use it as a method of transportation by using your skiing ability and, like, up and down the sides of it to speed around the map. And there's all kinds of great stuff like that, huge slopes that you can build up a ton of speed and then jetpack off of, and it's just a blast getting around. And it's free. and it's a lot of fun. My name on there is Hoops McElroy, if you want to get up in. So and I'm going to put my referral link in the post so I can get so you can sign up with it and I can get gold.
So tell me, that's it's free to play. Tell us about how they make you pay an arm and a leg. For every bullet costs you 2 pennies.
Every bullet costs you 2 pennies. No, it's you can buy gold packs, and those gold packs are, you know, it's typical, you know, buy more and get a bunch of bonus gold. The packs go from like $9.99 all the way up to $50.
What do you get with the packs? Like, what kind of stuff can you buy?
Well, it's all the stuff that's, you know, it's all the stuff that's in the game, right? So if you know, if maybe a jetpack boost cost, you know, like to make your jetpack last longer, maybe it typically costs 40,000 experience or, you know, 4 or 5 matches worth of experience. Or you could spend, you know, a couple dollars worth of gold on it. There's also...
I don't like that.
What?
I take issue with that. I find, if it was a visual change, like, oh, you get a new hat for $5 or whatever, okay, that's fine. But that clearly, like, someone that's spending money is given an advantage.
Yes and no. There are some that you can use it on. Usually it's to unlock a new, okay. So like, for example, for your secondary weapon, if you're a soldier, you can have a sort of grenade launcher or a pistol, right? Yeah. So, and keep in mind that I just bought gold for the first time today. So I'm not, I may be a little bit off base here, but this is what I was noticing was that if you wanted to upgrade your rocket launcher, you could only use experience to do it. If you wanted to open up the other secondary weapon, you could use experience or gold to do it. So like, you absolutely could, like, it's not letting you just get better, it's just opening up more options for you.
I understand. So you're basically saying this game is designed for the one percenters. Yeah. And everyone else can die.
No, I've been enjoying it without spending any money. I actually bought some gold today for the first time, only because like it seemed fair. I'd got a lot of fun out of it, and I would like to support the people making the game. But you could totally keep playing and not need to spend a dime.
So. I kind of wish they would make a version of this game that didn't have any shooting in it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have a hard time. I love jetpacking and skiing. Like, there's no other shooter that is as fun to move around in. But once everybody's going 200 miles an hour, like, it's like trying to shoot a fly with a potato gun. And also the fly has a jetpack.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's true. In the one hand, you're absolutely right. In the other... It's kind of cool because the only time where it becomes super practical to fight somebody, or at least for me with my limited, you know, skill set, is when they've stopped to try to do something. You know, they've tried to try to do something strategic, so like capture a flag or repair something or get into a fight with somebody else. So like, it keeps the flow of the game going because it's not just a bunch of dudes running around shooting each other on the map. It just doesn't make sense. If you see somebody whipping past you, like, you can try to take a few pot shots at them, and it usually is, it's almost like a hey, how's it going as you pass an enemy. Like, you'll both take a couple of shots at each other and miss and then go about your business.
That's romantic.
It's nice.
So
like, hey,
instead of shooting that guy that's running right past you, you shoot the guy that's crouching down to take a dump, basically.
I don't think that functionality
That is that functionality.
You have to, I don't think you have a dump bar that
you know, like,
well, you did in The Sims.
Okay,
there's
but
something
this
kind of amazing about this game. Like, when you think about it, like,
oh,
as
boy.
A history lesson, like a history lesson from
oh,
the future.
Boy.
Right? Like, okay. What if this is future war? Like, you know, we're evolving so fast.
Yeah.
What if future war were so powerful that we just whooshed right past each other? No one dies.
That is so beautiful. Like, they just get together and like, hey, thank God you're here. I made some oolong.
Yeah, no, it's like they all go like super jetpack skiing on like the Swiss Alps, they're like, I mean, we tried shooting at each other. We missed.
Yeah.
Maybe this is, you know, kind of a metaphor for the human, you know, existence.
But then they zoom right past all the soldiers and go right into the towns, and all the civilians get murdered.
But, and also, you got to keep in mind, what is powering those jetpacks?
Oh, human blood.
The answer is rare earth minerals. Black Ops 2, coming to you November 13th, Oliver North, an Oliver North production.
Oliver Platt.
Thank you, Oliver Platt.
You're so good at games. Has anybody been doing anything fun? Anything interesting? So we can take a little break. Give the Chris Granitron 2000 time to process.
You gotta warm it up.
I'm moving on Sunday for the first time in a long time, not to a new state entirely. I'm selling my bed. I am excited. I'm selling my bed.
Wait, who's gonna buy your bed?
That's why I'm selling my bed on Craigslist, and it's a very upsetting prospect.
Gross.
Yeah,
it's a new bed. I bought it.
You want to talk about gross? Okay, this bed is important because this bed is what made you move to Austin.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I didn't even think about that. I bought a Groupon for a mattress firm here in Austin. And the day that I bought that Groupon was the day that I decided that I pretty much just thrown my hat over the fence and that I had to move to Austin to cash in on this Groupon.
Did you not know that the Groupon was in Austin?
No, I did. I was thinking about Austin.
What the fuck, Russ? So you think the Griffin was just clicking around and he accidentally bought a Groupon in another state?
What's good in Tucson today?
Oops, I bought it. I guess I have to move. Now, Griffin, I don't know if you're comfortable with this, but do you think you would be able to enlighten us as to your bed situation before you bought the bed you're selling now?
Oh,
so people can tell how far you've come? Can you talk about Superbed?
You want me to talk about Superbed?
Yeah.
Superbed was, it was basically like the Avengers, if you think about it. It was the plurality of bed becoming one. It was two twin beds that I had wrapped in a California king size sheet.
No.
Now I know you're hearing this, you're wondering, but wasn't there a crack? Yeah, there's a crack in between the two. I only slept on one side of the bed, so effectively I had a twin bed with a vestigial
Well, but let me ask you, what sort of like frame was it in?
Oh, God's frame, my man. The floor,
which is to say, the floor.
There was a box spring. I wasn't that. It was but ridiculous.
It was a king size box spring.
No. Sorry, two box springs, two mattresses. But the same mattress? No.
Did you sleep?
Two totally different mattresses with different comfort ratings. God.
So it's like you have different sleep numbers in the same bed.
Uh-huh. Sometimes you feel like a soft bed.
And you could probably jump on one side of the bed and the wine wouldn't tip over on the other side.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even connected.
Yeah. I could spend $10,000 on a California king-size Tempur-Pedic mattress. Or I could take two beds that I've owned for 17 years and smoosh them together. And then what's up now? I can't tell you how many ladies I entertain. Zero.
The colonies that must have been living in a 17-year-old pair of mattresses.
And you know what's messed up? I really did sleep on those beds for basically my entire life until I moved to Austin. You know what's messed up? Other than that thing I just said, it's hard for me to get comfortable with any other bed now.
You mean any other beds?
My back, like, has Stockholm syndrome.
Have you tried? So you're in a, like, what kind of bed are you in now?
Now I'm in an Aberdeen plush, queen size. That's the one I'm selling. My GF.
And what are you moving up to?
It's the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on, but it's full. It's not a queen. So like, I know.
You might as well be living outside, not paying any money in tribes.
This is fun. When I was trying to sell my bed, I was looking at some of the differences between bed sizes, which, if you've never done before, it's illuminating. But did you know that different countries have different ways of sizing beds?
Yes.
And, like, pretty much everybody's is, they're almost the same, except for the UK has, like, crazy, crazy bed sizes. Like, they have a toddler bed. That's their smallest bed. It's called the toddler bed. And then they have, like, a twin, and then a full, and then they have a bed size called the prince.
Whoa.
And then a king, and then they have one called the super king, which is also called the queen. What's up?
Who's up? I believe it's the turn of Russ Frushtick.
Russ Frushtick. Okay.
Please don't sing.
No, I'm not going to sing this week. No, I'm not. But I did want to tell you guys a story.
Jeez.
Last week, I was walking around Atlantic City in New Jersey. I don't know if you've ever been. It's a very nice city. There's a show about it right now called Boardwalk Empire. Anyway, I was walking around Atlantic City, and they have a few hotels out there. One of them is owned by Donald Trump of the television show. What's that show he's in?
Trump Squad,
right. So I was walking through his hotel, and he's got a casino there. And in the casino, many slot machines, you know, running the rows of people spending money on these slot machines. And I was looking at one, and I was like, I wish this slot machine was more like Zelda. And it was, because I looked at my iPhone, and I found Tower of Fortune, the RPG that's also a slot machine. Okay,
you could have skipped like right to that. You didn't have to tell this fake story about how you were in.
No, that was all real. Anyway, so Tower of Fortune, you like fight monsters, but in order to fight them, you got to spin the slot machine, and you spend money, in-game money, and then if you get like swords, you do damage to them, but if you get skulls, they do damage to you, and it's sort of this like risk reward system, and eventually you're moving up the tower, spending more money, trying to like fight more monsters, and then when you open chests, you spin more slot machines, and then you go to the bar, and you spin more slot machines because you got to drink beer and you got to get slot machine beer on the slot machine. There's a lot of slot machines in this game.
This is like listening to someone have a stroke. I don't understand.
I know it's kind of hard.
So
to
wait,
understand.
How do you collect the real money?
Not real money, not like dollars.
Oh,
they're
so
in-game money.
You're playing slot machines, but you don't get money.
No, you get damage on monsters.
That's pretty much the same thing.
And then you get equipment for killing them. And then you level up.
What's this called again?
It's called Tower of Fortune.
It's called My Nani's Sweetest, Sweetest Dream.
Does your Nani do the slots?
Slots. Keno. Hey,
loop her in.
Just to let you guys know, I am bringing a Keno RPG. So just when you're ready, let me know.
I did
want
to mention the graphics are kind of neat. They you remember Tiger Electronics?
Yeah.
You remember how good the graphics were on Tiger Electronics?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's back, baby.
Do you mean like the LCD?
Yep. Full circle.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty lo-fi, and colors are a luxury they can apparently not afford, but I kind of like it.
Wait a minute.
They're on
are
an
you
iPhone.
Telling me? You brought a mobile slot-based black and white RPG.
Well, it's actually 4 shades of gray.
I think it's 50 shades of gray.
Shut up, Chris Plant.
That sounds... is it free?
No, it's $1.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. And that's an introductory price. So it's going to go up shortly. So make your move now.
Yeah, I gotta get on this. This offer's too good to last.
I can't wait to hear what the Chris Grant machine says about this puppy.
I think he's gonna be all over it, because you know what's also a robot is slot machines.
Slot machine is not a robot.
Yeah, it is.
Slot machine's not a robot. An iPhone is a robot, so maybe a slot machine inside an iPhone is a robot, but a slot machine natively is not a robot.
Why not?
It's just a bunch of... is a clock a robot?
It's got an arm. yeah. So, A Tower of Fortune is the name of the game, in case you didn't hear it before. If you like Portal 2, I think you'll love Tower of Fortune.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
So, my game that I'm bringing this week is Minecraft XBLA version. It lets you know, right there in the title, what platform it's on. XBLA. Which is an acronym for Xbox Live Arcade. It's kind of like,
before you get into this, could I request that you tell what's your like history with the PC/Mac version?
How
deep a Minecraft guy are you?
I got Minecraft when it first made the rounds. I think after like Penny Arcade started talking about it, which I bet is when a lot of people got into it. And I played it for a while, and I would dip back in whenever there was an update for the first couple updates, but I could never get... There were certain things about it that were inaccessible. Like, I did not like how there was no tutorial, there was no... there was no, like, crafting handbook to tell you what things you could make and how those things operated in the world. And that only got more and more inscrutable as they added more advanced stuff. I remember watching a trailer for these redstone-activated pistons that you could use to, like, create these huge machines. And, like, I watched that, and that was probably when I stopped playing Minecraft because I just didn't have the f***ing engineering degree that I needed to make things work. And I also could never get the online to work because you had to, like, host your own server, and I am not PC literate enough to know how to do that stuff. So, yeah, I played a bit of Minecraft, but... So the Xbox Live Arcade version is missing some of the stuff from the past few updates. Like, I don't think pistons are in it, for instance. And the adventure mode update isn't part of it. But it does have a lot of the stuff, and it also has... I'd say its biggest strength is its simplified multiplayer. So it has, like, split-screen, two-player, four-player, split-screen, and I think eight-player online co-op, which really is just as simple as you can see from the main menu which of your friends are playing the game, and you can just hop into their world and help them with projects.
But you can't actually join a random person's game.
No, you can't, because, God, that would be miserable. I have a swimming pool with a glass bottom on top of my house. If you broke one of those panes of glass, it would be an absolute nightmare in there.
That's happening.
Okay, great.
Do
I need to go into what Minecraft is? I'm pretty sure people know.
I don't think so.
You punch the box, you get the things, you make more things with it.
Is it weird to, like, sometimes I'm doing some real precision work with, like, block placement and stuff. Does it feel okay with a controller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels just fine.
Because you know exactly where because there's a crosshairs on the screen.
Yeah.
And if your crosshairs is pointing at, like, whatever it's directly aiming at, that's where the block's going to go.
Yeah. I really haven't had any problem as far as the control scheme goes. And, oh, okay, so what this also has over the PC version is it sort of has a crafting interface similar to the mobile version of the game, where you basically have a menu with different tabs. So there's, like, a structures tab and a tools tab and a food tab and an armor tab. And you can see everything you can make. And it tells you, like, what you need to make it. And if you have it, you just, like, hit A on the thing, and then it makes it for you. And then there's there's a tutorial. There's tooltips. Every time you highlight an item and hit right bumper, you can see, like, what it does and how you're supposed to use it and what it can combine with. So, like, crafting is a whole lot more intuitive.
Thank God, because I despise that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically have to keep a wiki open whenever you played Minecraft.
Yeah, and it's like, once I figure out how to make a pickaxe, like, don't make me drop all the stuff in that 3x3 grid. Like, I know how to do this already. Like, the discovery of it is kind of entertaining, but then it's tedious every other time you have to do it. But this game skirts around it, and... yeah, I've been getting super deep into it, deeper than I think I got into the PC version, even though I am fully cognizant of the fact that you got to keep in mind, like, games on Xbox Live just don't get the kind of TLC that they get on PC or Steam. Like, it's hard for me to be excited about the future of the game when I look at something like Monday Night Combat, which on PC, like, blossomed into this, like, insane amount of free update content experience, and on Xbox Live, like, I think it got one piece of DLC or one update. So I know that, like, they're not the Mojang guys aren't going to spend all the money that they need to on cert to get updates on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Would you say it's fair that if you had, you have a 360, you have a PC,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get it for one? I mean, does it still make more sense to get the PC version?
I don't know. I it's perfect for someone like me who is frustrated with some of the some of the more tedious aspects of it, and like I've never understood like creating your own server. If that kind of stuff frustrated you, then it is right for you. Here's the big bad thing that's wrong with it, though, is that it's $20.
Yeah.
Jesus. Which is
for a game that was $15 to start with,
uh-huh,
80 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's 20 now.
Is it 20 now?
I think they moved it up to 20 when it went to beta.
Huh. But that being said, it's not like, I bought the PC version, played it for a bit, I didn't like it, maybe I'll, if the price is right, I'll check out the Xbox. The price is so wrong. The price is the wrongest. I don't know.
Isn't there a 99-cent version of like a Minecraft clone on indie games that people love?
Fortress Craft.
Yeah, that's not to be encouraged, Chris Plant.
Yeah. I don't know. If you haven't played any Minecraft though, and your tendencies skew towards console games over PC games for the reasons that I outlined, I think that's probably the version to go with. I think you're going to get a lot of mileage.
The Xbox One is much more user friendly for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
But no slot machines, so who cares?
Okay.
We'll now have 2 minutes of final arguments as we as the Chris Grandchamp prepares its final decision.
Okay. Okay. I think you can all agree that
your game sounds like bullshit. You got a Tony Tiger 4-bit, like,
it's like something you find in a cereal box. It's so out.
I think I had that game on my Nokia phone, my Nokia 9600. Thanks.
It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree that Minecraft had its time in the sun. Mm-hmm. It was called last year, and I don't really need to play it that much more. A weaker version of a great game? No.
Well,
no,
I wouldn't call it a weaker version of a great
game.
Can
it do as much? Wait, can it do as much?
How many shades of gray does it have?
In the sense that I want to do more things with it than I did with the PC version. You know what I mean? It's all about the veil of ignorance.
That's fair. So what does that leave us with?
We're with Awesomenauts
and One Percenter, Buy Your Way to the Best Guns.
Buy Your Way to the Top.
Occupy Tribes.
But you can play it for free, which is something you can't say about Awesomenauts.
Yeah, you'll just die a lot.
No, you won't die a lot if you got mad skills like me.
Sure.
Yeah, and it made shooting me guys feel... that are dropping dookies, maybe.
So you don't That's need such... to you don't need to have mad skills to pay the bills. You either need to have mad skills or possess the capacity to literally pay the bills.
I mean, but, isn't that how supply and demand works? Like, you either have a craft or you have the ability to barter and trade.
Justin has a set of shooting skills that the market has valued at $100,
right?
Which I do not possess, but guess what I have?
$100
American dollars US.
That makes perfect sense. I like to eat good food. Can I cook? No, so I pay someone to do it for me.
Exactly.
Who do you pay to do it for you?
My wife.
All right, those are the closing arguments. Let's put it into the Chris Granitron and see how it shakes out.
That was the worst robot noise I've ever heard.
And it's Tribes!
Hey, all right.
Wow, this is huge. This is huge for me. Thank you so much to the robot version of our boss, Chris Grant. And thank you to you guys. This is a huge honor for me. Now, of course, what a robot can't decide is whether or not Tribes is better than The Walking Dead.
If the Chris Granitron possesses infinite wisdom to calculate the value of games against other games, I don't understand why we're placing these fictional limitations.
It's not really infinite. It's only wisdom of the last 7 days.
Okay. Right. Yep. Okay. Well, Tribes came out.
Nothing
way,
about robots.
I guess not.
They're like dogs. They forget everything after a certain amount of time.
Right.
Not love.
All I knew is that he eats metal, like in the Iron Giant, and he's got tank treads, and he's my boss, and I'm very afraid of him.
He lives on the dark side of the moon.
Mm-hmm. That sounds more like the $6 Million Man, which I guess also works because he was kind of an android.
He was totally an android.
Guys, I don't know if...
offend Chris Granitron.
I don't know. Justin, can you make any case for Tribes over Walking Dead?
I mean, Tribes is free, but Walking Dead is very inexpensive.
Okay.
Tribes, you can play for much longer. I think you're going to get a lot more out of it. But I'm not sure I could say it's... I definitely thought it was a better... Walking Dead is like a more unique... not more unique. It is a far more singular experience. And the 2 hours I played with it are a lot more thrilling. So I think I'd still have to stick with Walking Dead.
Fine with me.
Okay. I guess at the end of the day, I just wish that Walking Dead had skiing in it. Like, oh no, here comes the zombies.
It might. In episode like 3 or 4, there might be... Do they go to like a snowy resort?
Slopes of, the third one is Slopes of Terror, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That one.
Okay. Awesome. Let's keep it Walking Dead then, I guess.
So that is the besties for this week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Polygon, or come read our stuff. It's theverge.com/gaming. At least until we get our own site finished. Or you can go to polygon.com right now. You can find our Facebook, our YouTube, our Twitter link is there. Our Tumblr is there. And you can subscribe to our mailing list, which something will happen if you do that. I don't know what. I don't know where this goes. I guess I should find that out. And make sure you go to iTunes. Maybe share the show with a friend. Say, hey, listen to this show. They let a robot make all their decisions for them. And subscribe while you're there.
That won't happen. Sure. That won't happen again next week.
I don't think we'll have another robot episode.
We gotta figure this show out, you guys. We can't do it. We can't keep doing it while we record. We're not designing it anyway. We need to have a meeting.
We do have meetings. We have weekly meetings. We just record them and then make people listen to them. Make sure to join us again next Friday for the besties.
It gets better.
Should the world's best friends choose the world's best games?